The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Pretty special, aren't they? These are pants. This is not a joke. These are actual pants. These silver, almost leather-looking, plastic sheet-looking pants. I wore these once. Well, I've worn them more than once, but specifically, I wore these for a vacation Bible school in Ohio on my internship. I was playing a spaceman. And these pants go really well with a spaceman because they're bright and silver and shiny. And these good spaceman pants? Davin, are these good spaceman pants? Yeah. I borrowed them from the pastor who I worked with in Ohio, Pastor Robert Hamilton, Pastor Bob. Borrowed them for my costume. The thing of it is, Bob was a very unique person. When I borrowed these from him, when he gave them to me to use for that, the question I asked him was, Bob, do you remember when you bought these, if you bought them to use for a costume, or did you buy them so you could wear them someday? And I swear to you, his answer was, you know, I don't remember. And he was being sincere. He was telling the truth. I will never forget the first day that I actually met Bob Hamilton in person. I had spoken to him on the phone. I had read his biography. I had a sense of what to expect. A sense. But I had not gotten the full picture until he walked down that aisle at San Francisco Airport. I see walking towards me this man who is probably, I don't know, 6'1", 6'2". Worked out a lot, so very, very strong, you know, big upper body. Wearing a white tank top and cut off jean shorts with little frayed edges at the bottom. I believe the shorts were kind of blackish gray, if I remember correctly. A chain hanging from his hip into his pocket, attached to his wallet. Actually, I think there were three chains, if I remember correctly. A pair of black Converse high-top sneakers. A backwards white faded baseball cap. A long gray ponytail. But that was just the beginning, because since he was wearing his tank top and the shorts, I could also see that he had full sleeve tattoos down his leg. And down his other leg, and a full sleeve on both arms, and chest work and back work, a lot of piercings in his ears, piercing in his chin and in his tongue, and a big, almost handlebar mustache. He made quite the impression. He had arrived in San Francisco for our meeting with all the interns and all the supervisors for the interns that year, because, as I mentioned, Bob was my supervisor on an internship. And I got to tell you, he stood out amongst the intern supervisors. You know, the majority of the other pastors who were there, they came in their suits, they had their clerical shirts on, or at least they had something kind of nice and dressed up. Bob had on his old sneakers. And his ratty shorts, his tank top, and his hat. He really stood out. But the truth of it is, only a fool would look at Bob, see the way he dressed, and assume that was all there was to him. Because Bob Hamilton had a heart of gold. It became very apparent to me while I was on internship, and I got to know people in that community who knew him. People who had never worshipped in his churches, but who knew who he was, because let's face it, he stood out. People who had never met him, but who had heard of his heart, who had seen the way that he had touched the lives of people, who had been to funerals that he had presided at, who had been to weddings, who had seen his work in the community. Bob was very well known in the area, very well respected and loved. The bishop of the synod once referred to him as the most distinctive pastor in the synod, which was true. But it wasn't just about that look. It was also about his hospitality and his warmth, in the sense that as soon as you met him, you knew that you were loved, that you were welcomed. Bob told me he loved me. It was the third day that I met him, the second day. And it wasn't some sort of creepy thing. It was just who he was. He just loved people. He just exuded that. And you knew that when you met him. I recently put up a picture on Facebook of him and myself. And a local pastor around here, Julie, down at Seattle Luther Memorial, she used to serve in Ohio with him. And I liked what she said. She commented, "You know, he was the most genuine person I have ever met." It's genuine. I remember when we were walking through the streets of Berkeley one day, that day that he'd arrived from San Francisco, from small town, Northwest Ohio. Although, let's face it, he fit in walking the streets of Berkeley more than I did, to be honest with you. We're walking down the streets, myself and Bob and a couple of my good friends from seminary, a couple of Sarah and my good friends from seminary. And this woman on the side of the street, who I think was homeless and was kind of looking for money, she takes one look at him as he's walking down the street. She lets out this cat, this wolf whistle. I can't do a good wolf whistle. Can anyone do a good wolf whistle? You know, something like that. And I hear this voice call out to him, "Hey, good looking!" And you know what his response was? He walked over to her and he said, "Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Hamilton from Bucyrus, Ohio. How are you?" And he talked to her for the next 15 minutes. Random homeless lady on the street. On internship, and this is the story I really wanted to share with you, there was one day where Sarah was at work. While we were out there, she worked at a bank as a teller. And she told me about this after she got home. She was at work one day at the bank, and Pastor Bob had showed up to do, you know, banking, because that's what you do at a bank. And after he'd gotten done with his transaction and had left, there were a couple of people still in line, and one of them started saying some things about the way that he looked. Because as I told you, it was pretty distinct. And this person started grumbling about the tattoos and everything else. And so I think it was one of the other tellers, before Sarah could say anything, said, "Well, you know, he's actually a pastor here in Bucyrus." And then the person was really upset. Really upset. And just started, the man just started ranting about the way that he looked at, "Oh, blah, 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 and what a sinful, awful person he must be, and all of these things, and da, 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 da." And Sarah had told me that her heart started to pound, and she was trying to figure out what to do, because she's at work, and so she wants to defend him, but at the same time, she's at work. And before she can say anything, and before any other teller can say anything, some other person in line, this other woman, taps the guy on the shoulder and says, "Hey, I don't go to his church, but I have seen him work, and I have seen how he has touched people in this town. And if all you can see is the way that he looks, then I feel sorry for you." The book of 1 John, which we are going to be spending today and the next 3 weeks looking at, 4 weeks total. The book of 1 John is all about the humanity of Jesus Christ. That is its focus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We declare to you what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands. Jesus Christ has come in flesh from God. Jesus Christ has come in flesh from God. It is really, really easy in the 21st century to put God out there somewhere. Just kind of out in space. Beyond reach. God is this kind of wispy, spiritual, far-off God, a distant God, a removed God. A God far away from human need and concern. I talked to you a couple weeks ago about agnosticism. The idea that God is beyond our knowing. If there is any God, that God is beyond our knowing. That distant God, limiting God to that. That's what that is. It's not really faith, it's agnosticism. Well, if God's there, we can't really know anything. But that is not what we have been promised as Christians in Jesus Christ. It is crucial that we recognize Jesus' humanity. That he walked on this earth. That he walked and he talked and he breathed and he laughed and he cried and he ate and he drank and he slept. Jesus Christ was a little baby at one point. Diapers were changed. He was a little boy at one point. Knees were skinned. And he was a man at one point. And lives were touched and changed forever. Without the humanity of Christ, the cross means nothing. Without true death and true resurrection, the cross changes nothing. But it did change everything. It's not just a symbol. It's not just a pretty symbol that we wear around our necks or we put up in churches. We have been given a gift. We have been given the gift that the knowledge that our simple little human lives have value. That a God of love and life and grace showed us how to live for something more than ourselves. We have been given the gift of knowing that Jesus Christ is real. From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace, it is written. We declare to you what we have seen and heard about the word of life, so that you also may have that fullness. I cannot overstate to you the need for that experience of God today, of making Christ real for people, of living lives that testify to that reality, living lives that proclaim through word and deed that Jesus Christ lived and died for all of us. That we are beloved children of God. That it does matter. There are people in this congregation who think that they are too old to reflect the light of God in the world. And you are wrong. And there are people in this congregation who think that they don't know enough about the Bible or about faith to reflect the light of God in this world. And you are wrong. And there are people in this congregation who think that they are too scared, that they are too tired, that they are too busy to to reflect the light of God in this world, and you are wrong. Christ was made flesh to reveal that to you. Once upon a time, a tattooed, pierced Navy veteran dressed in the clothes of a young punk in Northwest Ohio's corn country touched a perfect stranger with God's love to the point where that person was moved to stand up to a judgmental bully and talk about God's grace. And I promise you, in Christ, you are all capable of the same. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for the love that you have shown to us through him. We ask you to bless us now and always, to help us to be mindful of you in your presence, and to guide us in all that we say and do. In your most holy, good, and gracious name we pray. Amen.